Welcome to Mama Tales, a podcast on our collective motherhood journey. I'm your host, Sally Kuria. Thank you so much for tuning in. If this is your first time listening, karibu sana. It's an honor to have you here and I hope that you stick around. New episodes like this will be coming your way every single Tuesday, so buckle in for the ride. Today I have a very interesting episode to share because it comes from a mom who thinks a little bit differently from most. She knew that motherhood was a calling from a very young age, but not just her motherhood journey, but her innate passion to help women enjoy their birth experience. This is actually her second time of being on the podcast. In her previous episodes, she talked about her role in supporting women have holistic pregnancies and birth and her own home birth experience. Let me play you a short clip from that.
Next thing you know, something like this force just drags me to the ground. Like, I remember, I don't know if I was screaming in my head or like in real time.
Yeah.
Because my husband said I was very quiet. But in my head, things were hectic. So I remember I was just like, I start cussing. So I called my husband. I'm like, yo, help me get on the floor. My water broke on the couch. And I felt this intense pressure and like that vomit sensation.
Yeah.
It's now on my uterus.
Mm. If you want to listen to her previous episodes, you can find them on episode 11 and 12. And they are titled Pregnancy is a State of Wellness. In this episode, she comes on to talk about her second home birth experience and how that has evolved from her first, as well as a reflection on the motherhood journey she's been on. She had her baby while we were recording, so you might hear the odd coos and hiccups here and there. Here's a bit of what's coming up.
We do women such a disservice by knocking down that confidence for parenting before they even get to that point, you know? By the time you're giving birth, you've already been told that they need to put their fingers in your vagina to make sure baby's like the baby's gonna come, whether that finger is in your vagina or not. Yeah. And if the baby, like let's say you're in labor and your labor is stalled or you're feeling like you're about to have a prolapse, you might not know what exactly that is, but your body will tell you that, okay, this isn't going okay. Yeah, I need help. Yeah.
So we are gonna get into that in a little bit. But before we get there, let's dive into some reactions from last week's episode and the highlight of the week. This little nugget of time where we look back at the week to celebrate the little moments that brought us joy. I am definitely not surprised by how many of us learned something new last week, that you can actually find yourself on the OR due to breast engorgement. This was very evident in the results of the polls that I shared on Spotify and on Instagram. I mean, I have to give it up to Frida for taking the time to talk about her story. Not a lot of people know the repercussions of ignoring some of these things. And you know, there's quite a lot of things that you're told that you should do at home without really being able to identify the big stressors, you know, the things that can land you in the OR like they did for Frida. So, hey, spread the word, right? Before you take on any home remedies, maybe you should just try and see if this is something that is beyond putting cabbage in your bra. To my highlight, I think, let me tell you, like this past week has been really, really hard. My husband, I think I'd shared this earlier. I don't know if I had, but my husband had traveled for work for a week. He was in India. On his way back, he fell a little bit ill. And I don't know. I was so stressed because, you know, he's saying he's not feeling well and he's pretty much in the middle of nowhere. Well, not really. He was in Doha, but he's just like, Doha and New Delhi, but how do I help, you know, the person that you love from all the way over here? You know, so it was quite a lot of anxious moments. And even when he came back, there's a lot of nursing care that needed to be done and just, you know, trying to nurture him back to where he's usually at. So it's been one of those weeks, and trying to juggle that with work was just, it was difficult, but you know, it had to happen. All in all, I am happy and glad that he's feeling better. He's back to himself. Well, at least really, really close to back to himself, which is much better than where we were a week ago, right? Especially Monday. Don't even talk to me about Monday. Yeah, It was bad, but you know, things are good, things are great. I'm happy about that. And I'm very, very grateful for it. So, yep, that's my highlight this week. Remember that you too can share your highlight and have it on the podcast, and I would love to know what you think about the episode that you're going to hear today. The best way to do that is to leave an answer in the Q&A section or the poll section of this episode if you listen to it on Spotify on your mobile phone, or you can even shoot me a DM. I'm happy to receive those, to be honest. So let's get into this week's episode. Nicole was drawn into bath work from a very young age. She started preparing for the bath of her kids back in her teens, way before she would even get them. Why, you might ask? It's because she knew that there had to be a different way to do this. One doesn't need to view pregnancy as a sickness to be managed in a hospital, but rather a state of wellness that connects us to the many generations of women before us. She had her firstborn girl at home with the help of her husband, and ever since then, she has helped many women have positive home birth experiences. After a couple of years of this work and settling into motherhood, she was ready to have another child.
It's funny because my husband always knows I'm pregnant before I do. So he's always like, you know, I can just tell. And he says, my vagina gets fat. Yeah, so I guess that's how he knows. Yeah, so he told me and I was like, okay. And then I think a week later, I was like, yeah, okay, my pants are getting tight. Just... Yeah. Breastfeeding was just, every time my daughter would like get on the boob, and I'd cringe. I was literally holding myself back from like flinging her off me. So I was like, okay, fine. I took the test, shared with my friends, and then yeah, that's how we found out. And was it a surprise? Okay, it wasn't a surprise, but it wasn't planned for. But yeah, once we found out, honestly, not much happened. Just went about my life. Didn't change much, just changed how I was eating. But yeah, this pregnancy was super rough on my body. I think because I was very depleted from breastfeeding. And my plan was to stop breastfeeding, get my body back in like optimum state before I get pregnant again. But yeah, that's not what happened. So I struggled with full body eczema. Like, sadly, till my palms. I didn't even know you could get eczema on your palms. Head to toe. Wow. Yeah. I tried cutting out eggs, didn't help. Just, I guess that was just, you know, my struggle. I went to this clinic in town, got this like cream that was so strong, like it was bleaching my skin. Yeah, so it was getting rid of the eczema, but like bleaching my skin at the same time. And I wasn't feeling comfortable with like the steroids and what it might be doing. So I stopped that. I tried the La Roche-Posay. Yeah, just accepted my fate. Yeah, so I just had to work on just not being so insecure about all of the rashes. You know, everyone's like, oh, what's happening to you? I'm like, I don't know. And then I go to the doctors. They're just like, no, it's just pregnancy. I'm like, I wasn't like this the first time. So something is off. But yeah, so they didn't have any help for me either. So kuvumilia tu until literally, I think a few days before I gave birth, that's when it stopped like spreading.
Weird pregnancy aside, Nicole was determined to have a pretty awesome second home birth. And since she had done it before, she felt a little bit more prepared for what was to come.
Yeah, so leading up to the birth, what was happening, I saw my midwife literally the day before she came. I was telling my midwife, oh, you know, my pool's coming next week. And I was having a contraction as she was checking me. She was just like, sis, this baby, these contractions are looking... This baby's going to be here soon. So she's like, okay, sure, you know.
She had always wanted to give birth in a pool, but the first time round, she was unable to find one. This was something she was determined to have this time round.
This time, at least, we had ordered one. And then when it got here, I'd already given birth. So it got here literally the next day. So they text us the next day, like, okay, your pool's ready for pickup. I'm like, okay, thanks. Yeah, so I was in early labor at that point from what, like, we've deduced. Yeah, so she checks me, baby's looking fine. This was at around 40 weeks, I want to say, because I wasn't tracking my pregnancy. Yeah, so for this one, with my first, I stopped tracking at 40 weeks. This one, I was just like, baby will come when baby comes. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I could handle pregnancy without religiously keeping track of the progress. I think I might have had multiple apps tracking my pregnancy. day by day. I just needed to know what's going on in my body. Aside not knowing was something that would make her anxious.
I think no, because that's not my personality. For me, I need to, like when I have too much information, I get super anxious. You know, when I have too many things to keep track of, it makes me very unsettled.
Yeah.
So for me, I was just like, okay, as I know as much as I need to know, I just kept track of my how healthy I was feeling, my supplements, and I went for one ultrasound, which I regret. So first of all, they didn't tell us that the ultrasound machine was in another hospital. So, you know, I'm looking around, I'm like...
Where is the machine?
Yeah, I'm like, maybe there's something, I don't know. So the baby's like, yeah, so the guy is not here, but he will we'll FaceTime him. And then they connect, like, you know the thing that they put on your tummy? Yeah. They connect it to the iPad. And somehow the guy sees what's happening. So you don't even get to see.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so we get out of there. We tried to check the sex of the baby. She was hiding. So I was just like, this was useless. Yeah, I didn't go to the hospital. Or what, you know, most people would usually do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like if women knew they didn't have to sit for 3 hours for a 20-minute appointment, we'd, like, nobody would do it. But yeah.
Yeah.
So I opted out of all of that. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, so now day of, it was 9th of May. I was basically in early labor the whole of that day. And then... Nighttime came. I really like laboring at night, it seems. So once I put everyone to bed, my contractions started. They were getting consistent. And this time was actually a lot more challenging, like mentally, because I was comparing the contractions to what I had before. So I was like, okay, it's not feeling the same. Is it going to like progress the same? I was timing the contractions and everything. So once I got out of my head, let go of like the contraction app, that's when things really started going. So I just labored alone at night from 7. And then my family woke up at 7 a.m. Kicked my kid out of the bed. She went to stay with my mother-in-law in the next room downstairs, have breakfast and everything. And then by then, I was hitting transition. But you know, because I'd labored when everyone's asleep.
Yeah.
Everyone's just like, yeah. So I was laboring. Now once they slept, I was in the bed, on my ball, and then in the balcony, and then on the toilet. So that was just me. Contraction, outside, contraction, get on the ball, contraction, go to the toilet, pee, contraction, try and nap. Yeah. I tried to nap so many times.
Yeah.
Wow, it refused. My husband, my daughter, they're both sleeping on the bed. Nobody knows anything. Yeah, so 7 a.m., I've hit transition. I can't find a comfortable place. I just remember I was just there on the door of the bathroom, just holding on for dear life.
Yeah.
So at some point, I'm like, babe, get the stuff ready. But you know, because him, he's been asleep for all of it. He's just like, oh, you know, he thought we had the day to labor. Oh. So him is just like, okay, let me get ready. Let's get, the baby's going to come in the evening. Mm-hmm. We had wanted to call my cousin, well, his cousin, to come and like help us. So he's texting her like, okay, she's started labor.
Wow.
come slowly, yeah?
Yeah.
An hour after that, he's like, okay, the baby's here. Come.
Come quickly.
So you can take your time or come now, whichever is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at some point, I hit transition, baby's coming. I remember at some point I can see like her passing through my vagina, like in my head. Mm. It's very trippy. Mm. So I'm like, babe, the baby's coming. He's like, oh, okay. And he's still, I think he started brushing his teeth, yeah? He's brushing his teeth. I'm like, babe, the baby's coming. He's like, oh, are you sure? Maybe you have some more time. I'm like, I can feel her. So I'm like, okay, get the towels. He gets like a few towels, gets, you know, those trash bags. So we place that, thankfully, just before she gets there. And then I remember my house help tried to enter. So I'm like, I chase her out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, close the door. Because he had like opened the door. He was talking to his mom. So I'm like, We're busy here, yeah, man. Yeah. I tell him to grab the camera. He's just like, oh, okay. Him is still thinking he has time.
Yeah.
So he turns on the camera and I'm like, whoo. He just hears me pushing. Then you can just hear him because he recorded. You can hear him. The video is like, oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah, so I get on my hands and knees. She comes in her sack. Like, she breaks the sack as she's coming out. Oh, so that was just one big contraction and her whole body. I didn't even catch her. I was, I was just holding on to my sanity.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she came. My husband called my mother-in-law. She came in. She was super nervous. So she's there like, oh my God, what do I do? Do you need water? Do you need... So she's panicking. My husband's there. He's laughing. He's, you know, he's just so excited. So she's like, why the hell are you guys so chill? Like, there's a baby here. It's like, you don't need a towel. You don't need anything. So we're both like, okay, it's fine. Just relax. I'll just give me some water. So I just gave her something to do. So I asked her to give me water. And then, we sat on the bed. I called my midwife. I'm like, so, hey. The plan was for her to come after I give birth to do the postpartum checkup, to do the stitching and everything in case I needed it. But yeah, so I called her. I was like, so, I know you just came yesterday, but come back. So after the baby came, we got on the bed. After about an hour, I went to the bathroom, got the placenta out. And then, midwife came, I think, 3 hours later. Got the stitches done. She cleaned up everything. Mm-hmm. I got fed. Mm-hmm. And that was how she joined us. Mm-hmm.
First time round, Nicole consumed part of her placenta. Yeah, you probably heard that right. After she delivered it, her friend cleaned it up, cut some of it up, and added it to a smoothie. She did this to maximize on the benefits of the placenta and also as a way of honoring the work that it did to nourish her daughter in utero. This time round, she did things a little bit differently with it.
This time I just froze it and then we planted it on my 40 days postpartum. Yeah, with a little prayer for her under a lavender, which is growing so well now. I'm so protective of it. I wake up in the morning and just count how many buds are growing. Yeah.
I was curious about the 40 days because this is not the first time I was hearing it, at least not in this podcast. Zane, a mom of two and the founder of Play Academy Africa, also talked about having a good, solid 40 days nonstop of care and bonding for her and her babies after birth.
So in most, let me say all traditional cultures, you find that the mom or the woman will be in, it's usually called 40 days of confinement. Some cultures, it's even 3 months, which is a lot.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being contained for 3 months.
Yeah.
The 40 days in itself was so hard. Wow. Mm. I really had to force myself to rest. And whenever, even just going downstairs to try and make breakfast, my body would just have a gush of blood. So I'm just like, okay, let me go back to bed. Yeah, so I think this time I was very strict with my recovery. So for those 40 days, I literally did nothing that didn't have anything to do with showering, breastfeeding, and eating. Yeah. Thankfully, we had my mother-in-law there, so she handled my three-year-old. So she didn't really feel like there was much of a... Like, she wasn't missing too much. Yeah. And then, so in the 40 days, you're supposed to basically stay warm, stay fed, no cold drinks, no cold food. If you can be massaged every day, even better.
Yeah,
so my husband did that.
Okay.
He's my perfect birth partner. Honestly, he was super perfect. Mm. And then I think this time was even better because our relationship wasn't going through the struggles of just getting married.
Yes.
Oh my God, I remember with my first, after you gave birth, he rocked us. And he was also going through his own stuff. So at least now he was able to be fully present, just enjoyed this newborn phase with me as well. So it's been perfect, honestly. Better than I expected. Because I got so many stories from everybody, be ready for... So now my firstborn to throw tantrums, all of that. She's going to hate the baby. I got that so much. And I'm like, okay. So it was so good. My three-year-old was fantastic. Oh my God. I'm so proud of her.
That's so cool.
I wondered why she thought her daughter handled the transition so well.
I think it was multiple things. So firstly, my mother-in-law is basically like her second mom. So she had that to like kind of fill in that void for me when, you know, I'd be focused on baby. And then I don't know if it's because the age gap also, because I know 3-year-old, you know, she's also in her independent phase, you know, she didn't really want to be held too much. She's got, you know, she's got better things to do than sit in the bedroom all day. Because I remember like the first week we'd tell her, oh, you know, I can't go anywhere. She'd ask me to go down to play with her. So we'd just tell her, okay, I need to rest, I'm recovering. And also because she saw the birth, she was like, okay, anyway, you need to recover.
Yeah.
My plan was for her to be there if possible. Honestly, I didn't have too much expectation for her. So when she came in with my mother-in-law, I didn't even notice she was there.
Yeah.
So I just saw her in the back once I'd like sat down.
Yeah.
She was just like, what the heck is going on? Yeah, so that first day, she was super freaked out. She was just like, yo, why is there blood on you? There's poop on the floor.
Yeah.
But, you know, the next day, she was like, Mom, she came to me, she's like, Mom, did the baby poop on you? I'm like, yeah.
Aww.
Now every time she sees the towel, she's like, Mom, that's where Toria pooped? And I'm like, yeah. So I think for her, the biggest, like, thing she had to wrap her head around was the poop and then, you know, seeing the blood on my legs and stuff like that. So once I'd explained it to her and then she'd seen the baby. So now, yeah, she knows babies come out of your vagina. She knows about placentas.
Yeah.
She's going to be that kid in school just...
Clearly.
Yeah. Even like the cord, she helped me clean that up. So now she knows that the placenta detaches and that's how you have a belly button. Yeah, so it just makes a lot of sense to her.
Last time round, Nicole had a pretty nasty experience at the hospital after the birth of her daughter. Her mom-in-law thought it would be best for them to go, but she did not receive good care, which left her feeling broken after such a magical birth experience. Asked her if she went to the hospital this time round and if the experience was any different.
No. Yeah, I'm not going back. I called my midwife. She came home, did the stitches, came after 2 weeks to check on us, came at 4 weeks to check on us again, check on my stitches and everything. So it's been amazing, honestly. Just the perfect, ideal birth and postpartum for me. Yeah. But, you know, thankfully we're not like America or the UK where they are so far removed from like home birth and just the way birth was made to be that, you know, you have to relearn it a lot. Thankfully now if we decide that, you know, okay, we want to take care of our bodies very holistically and just go back to how it was designed, because we have all these technology things to get in, like, to intervene with birth, but, you know, the body has not become a machine. We still give birth the same way your great-grandmother did, the same way, you know, your great-great-grandmother did. So all of this stuff, it's good when you need it, but it's not for everybody, you know? Like, imagine we decided, let's give babies steroids because some don't walk at, you know, at 9 months.
Yeah,
you know, like 9 months is such a small percentage of babies that will walk then. But now we start putting all babies have to walk by 9 months. And if you don't, we put you on steroids or physio or something like that, you know. Yeah, so I think it's not far from us to reclaim. And, you know, I think there's a myth that birth is dangerous. And, you know, of course, things can go wrong because birth is like life. You can't guarantee that when you step out of the door today, you're going to make it back home, you know? But at the same time, that doesn't stop you from getting out, going to live your life.
Yeah.
You know, you're walking in faith and it's the same concept applies to birth. And women are not stupid. You know when you need help, you know when something's not going right in your body. Even after you give birth, you don't need a doctor to tell you your baby's sick, you know? We do women such a disservice by knocking down that confidence for parenting before they even get to that point, you know? By the time you're giving birth, you've already been told that they need to put their fingers in your vagina to make sure the baby's going to come, whether that finger is in your vagina or not. And if the baby, like let's say you're in labor and your labor is stalled or you're feeling like you're about to have a prolapse, you might not know what exactly that is, but your body will tell you that, okay, this isn't going okay. Yeah, I need help. Yeah.
One of the things Nicole wanted to share was her evolving thoughts on motherhood, something she has been reflecting a lot on lately.
It has been, honestly, it's been such a nice surprise, because I know there's this whole thing on social media of stop glamorizing motherhood and moms telling people reasons why they shouldn't have kids.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay. Uh-huh. But for me, like growing up, being a mom was like the least glamorous thing you could do.
Yeah.
The moms were the ones doing all the work in the house, yeah, plus working outside. They were giving up their careers. They were moaning about like the changes in their body, all of these things. And you know, growing up, I don't know if it was the same for you, but being a kid was kind of like a chore for parents, you know. It's like, okay, I bought this thing, you just sit there, kind of like a car, you know. So for me, like, enjoying motherhood has been very important to me. Okay, pause. I called my hubby. Yeah, for me, being a mom was not like some fantastical, wonderful job, you know. It's like they said they were blessed to have kids, but the actions were not connecting, you know. It's like, oh, I love my kids, but you're not supposed to be talked to, you're not supposed to cause too much, you know, drama and stuff like that. So for me, it's been really healing, especially because I have a difficult relationship with my own mom. So I just try to enjoy it, even though like some days it's like you're arguing with a 3-year-old and you're like, am I really the mature person I thought I was? my child has chest. Bro, I'm like, we could fight, you know? I'm being very gracious right now, but yeah. So I just try and enjoy it. I love babies, which I think makes it easier, you know? I feel like if you didn't like kids and you have kids, it'll be hectic, you know? Because they push you, and I think because I also know that that's their job. So I know what a newborn needs and what a 3-year-old needs, and that also I need to have my needs met. So for me, I'm not giving up myself to become a mom, because I think that's also what now past moms feel like they had to do, you know? Being a mom was kind of like taking away from a big part of you, first of all. Yeah, so for me, my kids they've not stopped me from achieving anything. In fact, I think I've become more disciplined, more social. Like me, before I became a mom, first of all, I had so much social anxiety. Yeah, honestly, making friends was so hard for me back then. I didn't have any confidence in myself. I didn't treat myself the way I should treat myself. Yeah, so I think from now, just being a mom, I have so much more focus. I love life. It's so enjoyable for me right now. Even just, you know, taking my kid to go see, I don't know, a cow or something, you know. Once I had, first of all, because I had kids early, I guess, because, you know, I was 23 when I got married at 22, had a baby at 23. So everyone's like, damn, Nicole, you just gotta give up your life like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I'd see when people approach me and they find me the kid, they're almost like, they feel sorry for me. It's not that, oh, they're happy for you. They're like, sorry, yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, it's not a bad thing. Like, first of all, I think it's because I chose to be a parent at this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just that pity. And I don't know if it's because I had kids younger. I feel like I waited till 30, the way people feel like I should have, you know, get your money first and then have kids. But yeah, this is how I wanted to go, and I'm grateful that I'm here. I'm grateful that I get to watch them grow up.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised at how quickly they do not need you. Like, yeah, because my daughter got to 2 and I was back at work and I was just like, what the heck?
As always, before we wrapped up, I asked her what she was looking forward to in her journey.
What am I looking forward to? I look at my grandmothers now, with like their kids and their grandkids, and I'm like, that's just such a wild concept.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine being there and like just sitting there. I'm like, I'm the reason you are all here right now.
That's
so crazy. Yeah, I am nervous for the teenage years because I was a problem child, and I just hope the karma does not come to pay me back.
Oh, no.
I know. But I'm preparing. I'm preparing. But yeah, I have, gosh, so much growth in motherhood, you know, just the selflessness it requires and selfishness at the same time. Like, there's a lot of things that, like, I could be here doing whatever I want. If I wanted to wake up at, like, 2 p.m., mm-hmm. I could. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's, like, a self-discipline that requires me to wake up. I need to have my day in order before I can have theirs in order. Mm-hmm. Like, I never used to have a routine. I was perpetually late, which, funny enough, now with 2 kids, I'm here early. Yeah, so there's been a lot of change. And I think at first it's, you know, it's brutal, mm-hmm. I feel. And isolating and lonely, which, you know, it's, I don't mind, you know, a lot of, like, in literature there's the hero's journey, there's, like, just things you have to do by yourself, and they're uncomfortable and they require a lot of you and they require to give up a lot, and there's a lot to learn from it as well. So that's how I view motherhood. It's like a hero's journey. I'm trying to figure out my space. How to show up in that space for women. I'm working on something for the dads, just because I've seen how transformative it's been for my husband as well. And in my mind, it was just, you know, okay, I'm the one giving birth, I'm the one going through all these changes. But a lot has happened for him. It's required a lot from him just to be a father on its own, and just him having to check himself and all of that. And I'd like to give something for men to help them show up for their partners during the season. And for me, I feel like it's been easier for him just because he's been able to prepare. I feel like men get left behind, even as boys. It's just, it's quite sad, honestly, when I think about it. And I just want something that will help dads just be ready for fatherhood, just to know that, you know, it's not something that you should detach from yourself from, but it's also going to be hard for you, even though it's not going to be as challenging. It's like a different kind of challenging. So I'd like to create something that helps them support their partners, themselves as well. And just make that adjustment easier. And also just to help them, like, get out of the way. Because one thing I've noticed working with women is, like, your husband or your partner kind of wants to save you from birth. But it's like, you can't save her. And you being scared for her is not helpful. So I just want to give them tools to be able to show up there and not be uncomfortable with how uncomfortable your partner is during labor and those first few months. Just being more understanding and gracious for the both of you.
I want to thank Nicole for taking the time to share her story with us again. If you'd like to see more about her work and possibly engage her for your upcoming pregnancy and birth, please reach out to her. I will leave her details in the show notes of this episode. We're still on for the session on co-parenting this Thursday, so do make sure you register to get a link to it. Or better yet, subscribe to our YouTube channel and turn on notifications to be notified when the session is up. I've already sent out an email to everyone who's registered. So if you haven't seen that yet and you're registered, please check your inbox. See if it disappeared somewhere in spam, but I think it should be fine. For all those who do not know what I'm talking about, on Thursday, 1st of Feb at 7 p.m., I'll be sitting down with Ivy Kathungu. She was in episode 48 of the podcast. And we'll be talking about the legal side of co-parenting, kind of building up on that episode that we did. We have received over 800 registrations and they're still coming, which is great. I love that because we all need this information, and over 750 questions. We definitely cannot go through 750 questions in 1 hour, but don't worry, I got a soul for that. So just make sure you come on Thursday. It is a virtual event. The link will be shared to you if you've registered, and you could also just subscribe to the YouTube channel to just be ahead of everything. So before I wrap up, I just want to remind you that your story is powerful. So do you have a story on your motherhood journey that you'd like to share? Let me know. Details on how you can do that can be found in the show notes of this episode. That's it for this week. See you in the next one. Bye.